Welcome to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. If you would like to participate on today's program, call now, 803-1520. That's 803-1520.
All right, here we go. Think Again. Think Again. Welcome to our topical discussion program, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Western New York, still fighting the war on poverty, now in our 53rd year. Each week, we talk to you about issues, events, and trends affecting you right here and right now in Buffalo and the Western New York community, and in fact, connecting to communities all across the country. I'm your host, L. Nathan Hare, President and CEO of the Community Action Organization. Make us a part of your Saturday every Saturday at ESPN 1520 AM on your dial from 11 o'clock to 12 noon each week. Now, today's program is live, so you can call in and can join our discussion. I hope that you will. Our number here again is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. While whistling about the economy, when will we hear the media tell us that the Republicans handed us the Great Recession, a one-third shrinkage of the economy, 800,000-plus lost jobs per month, and nearly collapsed the world economy? Democrats took over in January of 2009, and by March of 2010, started a recovery that reduced the deficit from $1.5-plus trillion down to around $500 billion, saved the auto industry, got 95% of Americans with health care, and started a sustained recovery and job growth of averaging about $200,000 jobs per month over what is now a 97-month period. But we're going to return to that theme in a bit. I looked at an article written in Wonkette magazine, an odd place, but it was an interesting article written by a woman using the pen name Dr. Zoom. The article was entitled "Good Guys Fighting Back on Voter Suppression," but Lord, there is just so much of it. And so it gives the example of North Dakota Democrat Heidi Heitkamp, who won her election in 2012 by fewer than 3,000 votes with huge support from Native American voters. Naturally, the Republicans in the state legislature of North Dakota passed a law in 2013, so-called, what's the word you want to use, tightening of voter ID restrictions, which they claim was to prevent voter fraud. But of course, what it did is it attacked the Native Americans specifically. Native Americans on reservations tend not to have specific household addresses like 16 Sussex Street or something. They basically have post office boxes because the way that their communities are organized, they don't really have street addresses and so on. So they created a law that said that if you don't have a street address, your ID doesn't count. So you wouldn't be able to vote. Native American voting rights activists have announced plans to ensure people can vote even after a Supreme Court decision upholding a law aimed at reducing Native American voting. With they're going to be able to use a series of laptops. They're going to put laptops near the polling places and use addressing software so that they can actually create ID for these Native Americans that has an actual address on the ID. North Dakota is one of the few states, and I think it's the only state in the country, that does not require voter registration, meaning eligible voters can generally show up at the polls and cast a ballot so long as they have proper identification. So we see that people are fighting back in North Dakota. I wonder what the Republican response is going to be to that. In Georgia, its Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, is running commercials. He's running for governor of the state. He's running commercials that are just outright lying, deliberately construing something that Stacey Adams, who is a candidate for governor in Georgia, said that was not even in her statement. At a rally, she said The thing of it is, the blue wave is African-American, it's white, it's Latino, it's Asian Pacific Islander, it's disabled, it is differently abled, it is LGBTQ, it is law enforcement, it is veterans, it is made up of those who have been told that they are not worthy of being here, it is comprised of those who are documented and undocumented. In other words, the blue wave is made up of the people the Democratic Party generally tries to fight for. Nowhere in her statement did she say or suggest that ineligible people try to vote. But Brian Kemp, just like Trump, just lies to the skies. This just in, an article by Alexandra Hutzler in Newsweek magazine titled Donald Trump Admits He Only Tells the Truth When He Can. You can't make this up. For example, most recently, Trump asserted that the United States is the only country in the world to grant birthright citizenship, a right given by the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. And of course, Trump and the so-called strict constructionists of the Constitution don't like this strict construction because the 14th Amendment is not ambivalent. It says that any person born in any state, territory, parish, district, dependency of the United States is a American citizen, period. There's no qualification on that. But the strict constructionists somehow see a qualification on that. When lying man, he's trying to says he's going to use an executive order to override the 14th Amendment. Of course, lying man either knowingly or ignorantly ignores the fact that 30 other countries, including Canada, Mexico, even Pakistan, have similar automatic citizenship policies. When ABC's White House correspondent Jonathan Carl pointed to that false statement, Trump shrugged it off, saying, "Well, I was told that." Then he went on to blame to say that he was to blame for so many people wanting to come to the United States because he has made the economy so strong. I guess the 11 million undocumented persons that were here before Trump took office had come years ago waiting for him. On the migrant caravan, Trump has claimed that the caravan included members of MS-13, some Mexican gang, terrorists, and unknown Middle Easterners, but he gave no evidence. Later, Trump conceded that there was no proof of any of what he said. Then he says, "You have the caravans coming up that look a lot larger than it's reported, actually. I'm pretty good at estimating crowd size, and I'll tell you, they look a lot bigger than people would think." Even allies of the president know that he often spews falsehoods and misleading statements. Anthony Scaramucci, I don't know what your thoughts are about him, but he's a longtime Trump confidant. He told CNN, he says, "Well, okay, we both know that he's telling lies. So if you want me to say he's a liar, I'm happy to say he's a liar." Just bizarre. This is the president who has made over 5,000 documented misleading statements or lies during the course of his presidency. These comments came after this interview with Jonathan Carl noted that during the 2016 presidential campaign, then-candidate Trump made a promise that he would never lie to the American people. He says, I'm quoting now, "Well, I do try, and I always want to tell the truth. He says, when I can, I tell the truth. And sometimes it turns out to be where something happens, and that's different or there's a change. But I always like to be truthful." The number of lies and misleading claims that Trump is making have only increased as the 2018 elections get closer. News organizations report that the president has made as many as 170 false claims just during the second week of October alone on everything from the size of his rally crowds to protections for pre-existing health conditions. I got to hit something just a moment on this issue of this terrorism thing that was argued about last week. In an article written by Sarah Louise Grossman, most of America's terrorists are white, not Muslim. I just want to get to the chase scene on this. Looking at both plots and attacks carried out, the group tracked 201 terrorist incidents from January 2008 to December of 2016. The database shows that 115 cases were by right-wing extremists, from white supremacists to militias to so-called sovereign citizens, compared to 63 cases by Islamic extremists, and only 19 of the 201 terrorist incidents on U.S. soil from January 2018 to December of 2016 were committed by folks who you could describe as left-wing. These left-wing people included eco-terrorists and animal rights militants. Let me get to our phone calls. Let me get to Tony real quick. Tony, how are you doing out there?
I'm interested in a lot of things that you correctly said. And let me say this. I look at a person or a period of time for a pattern of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think we should all be looking at here, especially with this president. Meteor Matters in October counted all the lies and half-truths this man has said. There were 1,100 in the month of October.
Alone, so, right.
Yep. Alone, in October. Okay, so what the pattern behavior is he says he tries to tell the truth. Well,
mm-hmm.
He's like the Bills winning the game against New England last week when I said, live in the world of reality.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is he's a liar, has been a liar, always will be a liar, and you're not going to change a 71 or 2 or 3 or 4-year-old man's behavior. You're just not.
Right.
Tony Schwartz, the author, really, of that book with the president, said you're not going to change the spots on the leopard, period. Now, let's talk about some other things he's done. First of all, let me say this. In all fairness, President Obama, in 2010, sent 1,200 American troops to the border in what we call Operation Phalanx. That was to seize drugs.
Mm-hmm.
He used the military for the seizure of drugs and, you know, using them also to keep track of things. By 2012, these troops were all removed.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the president said 3 weeks ago that there will be a middle class tax cut by November 1st.
Right.
And do you think that's going to be, that was invoked?
November 1st already passed, right?
Yeah, Congress was not in session.
Right.
Yeah. What about when he went to Pittsburgh? To put it mildly, he's a bully, so he's going to get his way. He went over there and he disrupted everything with the funerals that were being conducted that day. There were three. The mayor of Pittsburgh said, please, Mr. President, come after a week or so after we have done all these funerals. No, he has to show up. But the United States presidency was put on trial that day.
Mm-hmm.
When he arrived at the airport, he was not greeted by the officials of any part of Pennsylvania, of that Pennsylvania area. He was greeted by a secondary airman, and that was it. One person or two showed up at to greet him. He left after 14 minutes of being in Pittsburgh. Why did he go? Well, it was all politics. And the same thing can be said for the border. Time magazine published in its website an article on the 26th of October that says active duty troops, these are our American soldiers,
right,
will not be armed. They are not going to be armed. They're there in to help with putting up tents, vehicles, etc.
Tony, can you imagine what the optics would be and how the world and our own people would react if our troops ended up shooting people on the border of America on the basis that they were crossing illegally at some spot or they were coming to an actual port of entry and ended up shooting these people? Can you imagine what that would be like for us to have to put up with that?
Well, don't you, not you, but your guardian should realize this president said he has the authority to get rid of the provision for people asking for asylum,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, has been in effect all over the world since 1949.
Right.
So he can't do that. The thing is we have, and as far as the economy goes, if you think this economy is working for the common man, you got to be kidding me. They pointed out in the report they put together yesterday that a single individual with one child currently in the United States is earning $26,452, barely enough to survive on. In fact, not enough to survive on. How can you make it on that amount of money with a child? How do you pay all your bills, your rent, et cetera, with one child? This man does not care about us. And when I say us, the poor people, the people who strive to get to the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
This morning I watched Stacey Abrams. She was on the TV with AM Joy. And there was a mayor there from another part of the state. And they all said that Kemp fellow you mentioned, he will do anything to suppress the vote,
mm-hmm.
because he knows that he will lose if people go to the polls. He knows he will lose. And there's another race that you should also be very careful of. That's Beto and Cruz,
mm-hmm.
because Beto now is even in his thing. The bottom line is, folks, if you don't get off your can, your fannies, off the couch, and go and vote during this election.
On Tuesday, right.
Don't go and complain on Wednesday about the results.
Yep.
Tuesday is your day. Get out there, vote, especially in the 27th. I want McMurray to win. I don't want Collins back there. Because he's nothing but a thief.
Okay. All right. Thanks. All right, Tony. Listen, we're going to take our first break, and then we're going to get Frank on the phone. So if you all stick with us, and Frank, hold us for just a couple minutes there. We'll see you on the side of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
I'm here with Joseph Dispenza, president of the Forest Lawn Cemetery and Crematory Group, with another segment of Ask Joe. Joe, this week, Eric from Lancaster asks, I've heard that Forest Lawn has a new mobile app. Can you tell me more about it?
Eric, you're right. With sponsorship from our friends at M&T Bank, we've introduced a wonderful new app for a smartphone or tablet to take a virtual tour of Forest Lawn from anywhere at any time. Or take a self-guided tour when you're on our grounds. The app currently features 20 tour stops, including the burial sites of Millard Fillmore, Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm, and musician Rick James, as well as iconic monuments such as Frank Lloyd Wright's Blue Sky Mausoleum. The app even allows you to take a virtual walk inside our historic chapel and mausoleums. Each tour stop provides you with a 360-degree view of the site, which makes it appear as if you're standing right there. There's also an audio narration telling the story of the individual or monument, and it's free for downloading on your Apple or Android device.
That's great information. Thanks, Joe. If you have questions about cremation or burial or anything Forest Lawn, just give the team at the Forest Lawn Group a call at 885-1600 or visit them online at forest-lawn.com.
all day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies. Oh no, no, you can't disguise. You can't disguise. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
So apropos. Just quickly before I get Frank on, let me just lay another quick little nugget on you on this issue about this caravan thing. In the first two quarters of fiscal year 2017, so roughly October 1 of 2016 through March 31 of 2017, there were about 199,000 border patrol apprehensions on the southwest border of the United States. Compared, not even worry about the previous year. That's roughly 33,000 people crossing at the southwest border over the course of that time period per month, 33,000 per month. So I want you to just think about this for a second. If in the first 6 months of fiscal year 2017, there were 33,000 illegal border crossers per month, and that's been going on for 20 years, how could 1,200 people out of the 6,000 that started out in this caravan, 20% of them are likely going to get all the way to the border of the United States. How could those 1,200 people be such a big threat to the United States, a caravan of people who are presenting themselves at the port of entry? They're not hiding. They're not going someplace and trying to sneak across. They're going to go to a port of entry. How can those 1,200 people be an invasion that's a threat to the United States when we have 33,000 people that come to the United States illegally every single month, and that's been going on for 20 years? This is just crazy how we have so many people. I hear, you know, women and other folks, you know, that are being interviewed talking about how threatened they are. We've got to fight, you know, and so on. So anyway, let me get, is it Frank first, and then we'll get Al, then we'll get Chris. Frank, how you doing out there?
It doesn't election 2018 feel like you're at the crossroads of good and evil, Nathan?
I'm telling you, man, we're at a breakpoint. This is a breakpoint. You know,
I've tried hard to keep my rage buried since the 2016 election. You know, I figured, you know, let's give Trump a chance and see how he does. You know, but the last 2 years have been a bigger disaster than I ever could imagine. You know, I hope the American youth are voting because it's your economic and environmental future that's at stake here. You know, the Trump and GOP lies and distractions have crossed the line from politics into criminal activities, voter suppression, collusion, conspiracy, constitutional violations, and domestic terrorism.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't get any worse than this.
Yep.
I heard, this is what broke the straw that, I heard Trump taking credit for wage growth this fiscal quarter, when in reality it was Senator Bernie Sanders that worked hard for over a year to force a pay increase for 250,000 Amazon employees and 100,000 of their vendors. You know, what has Trump really done besides lie and hate and fear monger?
And keep in mind that the reason why we have the wage growth that we're seeing right now is because over the past two and a half years, there's been a push in virtually every state to increase the minimum wage at the state level and for some levels of federal employment. It takes time for all of that to wash through the economy and push up wages for those people that were already above the minimum wage. But the 2.5-3% increase in wages that you see right now is more a result of that bottom-up push of the minimum wage going up than it is from anything that's being done by the Trump administration.
You know, everyone's saying knows his tax cuts, you know, that were supposed to be for average Americans. It's all a fraud.
Yep.
You know, there's no quality jobs. Wages are going down in red states. Inflation is rising. No infrastructure bill. And oh, Nathan, oh, look, a Republican is in the White House, and high gas and fuel costs are going up before winter.
Yep.
You know, who didn't see that coming besides Republican voters? You know, you know, judging from the past poor voting choices, you know, conservatives, you should ask your grandchildren now who to vote for.
Absolutely.
And Nathan, even with all this evidence against them, even though Republicans control three branches of government, these degenerates are still blaming the left.
Yep.
You know, the Americans with no money and no power. You know, anyone who doesn't vote doesn't deserve to be called a citizen.
Mm. All right, Frank, we're going to take a break right there, and I'm going to get Al on. Then we'll try to grab Chris, and then we'll get Ron. So let me get Al and get his thoughts. Al, how you doing out there?
I'm hanging in there.
All right.
People forget that when the 111th Congress, when Obama was inaugurated, we were shedding 800,000 jobs a month. And then they got in there, and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barack Obama passed the Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the first-time homebuyers credit, the Credit Card Reform Act, the Cash for Clunkers. Now, here's the big one, the weatherization programs, because that weatherization program was huge. That put a lot of people to work. And it's still going because there's a lot of folks that are still taking advantage of the weatherization programs and the revitalization revitalization programs that your agency
we do it ourselves, right?
People don't realize that when you're fixing homes and you're revitalizing certain homes in certain neighborhoods, you're fixing up that neighborhood. Like the West Side, it is starting to come back.
Right. Every house you do, you're going to employ 4 to 5 people.
Right.
For weatherizing and energy efficiency reforms to or repairs to a home. So this is tremendously great for job growth and income coming into our various communities.
And it has what they call a circular motion of economic activity. When you put folks to work, what happens? They have more disposable income.
Yep.
What happens when they have more disposable income? That means that there's going to be less of a supply side. That means companies are going to have to do more hiring because there's more demand.
Right.
So when there's more demand, you know, there's more hiring.
Right. You got to produce more stuff to meet the demand. You got to hire more people to produce the stuff.
People don't realize that when he restructured the auto industry, that was huge.
Yep.
And the Affordable Care Act created billions of jobs.
Right.
I'm sorry, millions of jobs. You know, and the mass, he passed a highway. Remember the big highway transportation bill?
Absolutely. Yep.
I mean, folks forget. People forget that
the Republicans fought him tooth and nail on every single one of the initiatives that you just talked about. And so now they're trying to present themselves as the growth people when they're the ones who did everything in their power to minimize every effort that was being made under the Democratic administration to stimulate growth. So exactly what you said.
Didn't he implement the Trade Enforcement Agency, too?
Yep, absolutely.
Remember the Trade? How could we forget the Trade Enforcement Agency?
Because we have short memories as a voting public. That's what we need for people like you to remind us.
All right, thanks, Al.
Let me grab Chris first, then we'll grab Ron and Cheektowaga. Chris, how you doing? I haven't talked to you in a little while.
Oh, I know. I've been so depressed.
Oh, don't be depressed. We got to fight.
I know. Well, fortunately, you've got other people on the program that say things far better than I can. So
no, you're great.
I've been listening and very encouraged by that. But, oh, it's been tough. What irritates me most, well, there's so many things, but one of the things that just irritates me so much is when they say Kavanaugh is innocent till proven guilty, but lock her up.
Right.
Collins is innocent till proven guilty, but lock her up. Trump is innocent till proven guilty, but lock her up.
Right.
Why are we letting this man get away with this? I don't understand.
Because Trump's agenda is something that the people they keep referring to as the base. Now, they're not the base of the voters of the United States. They're just the base of the voters that support him. That base of people are generally nativist, nationalist-oriented kinds of people. So all of the policy things that you and I talk about, those things aren't really on their minds. As long as Trump keeps pushing this nationalist, nativist theme, and they feel that agenda is going to be pursued by Trump, they don't really care about the rest of the stuff. They just think all of that stuff is window dressing. What they think is most important is Trump's nativist orientation.
Have you noticed a little bit of a change in the reporters lately, trying to hold him to account? I think they're getting fed up with the same silly answers that he gives all the time, the nonsensical, no information answers. And I see a little bit of the media pushing back finally.
At some point, the media's got to start reacting to this idea that the media is the enemy of the state.
Right.
This country does not work if we don't have an open media. And even though I know it irritates people, irritates me when people start querying me about stuff that I don't feel like having to answer and so on. But you can't object to it, because if you don't have some objective, no agenda other than finding the truth kind of force out here, then you become trapped into an echo chamber where the people that are strong are just hearing from people that support people that are strong, and the weak people don't wind up having any voice at all. We can't afford to allow that to happen in this country.
Yeah, and I've noticed when he lies, that the media will correct it immediately. Mm-hmm. They weren't doing that for a long time.
Absolutely.
They were letting him get away with it. But ever so slowly, I see a change coming about, and I hope it's going to continue.
I agree. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate you. Hope I hear from you next week, okay? All right, great. Let's grab Ron in Cheektowaga and get his thoughts. Ron, how are you doing?
Okay. Here's one thing. Now, I have an ability through iOS and Android devices to get the podcasts of the three major news networks that, for each, in case I miss it or I can't, view the news on the ABC, NBC, CBS. And I compare them. And, some of their archives, if you know how to operate these things, go back. Two of the three networks, I believe it's ABC and CBS, go back 500-600 episodes. So it goes back to before the 2016 election.
Wow, okay. Yep.
Now, the last jobs report before the 2016 election showed a 210 job increase for October. Okay, mm-hmm. It was on Friday, November 4th of 2016. And on both the ABC and CBS, the mention of the jobs report, one of them didn't mention it. I have to go back now. I can't remember. My mind is for short term and isn't that good anymore. One of them didn't mention it at all, and the other mentioned it as follows. The jobs report was encouraging this month. Another 210,000 jobs were created in October. Now moving on to our next story. Okay.
Yep.
Yesterday, I didn't see the ABC or NBC. And CBS did a five-minute report. A five-minute report puffing how good the 250,000 job report for yesterday was before. This is the last jobs report before the midterms. They did it. Well, let's go to our economic analyst, Joe Blow from Kokomo, or whoever it was. I don't remember. They did a five-minute report, uninterrupted, about the job sector here and the job sector there and this and that. I mean, compare the two. That's why whenever I hear some imbecile call up and talk about the liberal media.
Right.
Now, this has got to have an effect on the way they did that. You remember, 65 to 70% of people say they still get their primary news. I know CNN, MSNBC, and Fox like to think that they are the number one, news networks. Well, Fox is the number one news network for the three 24-hour ones. But 65 to 70% of people, according to polls, still get their primary news, their media news from, electronic media, from ABC, CBS, and NBC.
Yep.
And I just have to think how profoundly different the coverage in 2016 was than the coverage was in 2018 about this robust.
And how it affects you, the way you receive and process that information. So just on your point, Ron, if you look at the Democratic administration from March of 2010 to January of 2017, that administration averaged, if I'm not mistaken, roughly 204,000 new jobs per month. But anytime they dipped a little bit below 2,000 or 200,000, it was talked about like, oh, this was so disappointing, the report. And when they got like, you know, 210, 220,000, it was talked about as if it was, you know, well, okay, finally. And then they moved on, just exactly the way that you said that. The Trump administration had one month where they had 76,000 jobs and supposedly disappointing and whatnot, but they really minimized their reporting on that. And the next month, when things went up a little bit more, they talked about it as if this was a big charge that was being created by the Trump administration.
Okay, one other thing here, a couple of other things, but I have been doing my own unofficial number. I can only do this because I'm one person. I'm not a whole group of people here. Mm-hmm. I have been since October the 17th. I have done a little bit of my own unofficial, unscientific research on 1 hour of news between on Channel 4, WIVB, their local news and the network news. And I came up as of the conclusion of yesterday for the two races, the two big congressional races, just to show you how what the effect of Citizens United, and this is New York State. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how it must be in like real battle, like Pennsylvania, or I know I got a little bit of taste of it by listening to the Pittsburgh Steelers games on their home broadcast. But mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see the TV there, and I don't have a way of seeing their TV. Anyway, it was 244 pro Reed and Collins to 48 pro. Nate McMurray and the Tracy, what's her last name that's run against Reed? I never can remember because you don't see hardly any of hers. So that's just showing you the massive influence of Citizens United and the McCutcheon thing with campaign money.
You're absolutely right. I mean, money counts for so much. The truth is, as we've talked about on the air before, you become what you hear. And so they know that if they can just control how much stuff is being said out there that trumps their message, even if they're just bold-faced lying.
And the big thing, another one thing here, too. Channel 4, and this is the only one I'm going by because it's hard to concentrate on three at once for me anymore. At the time I could, way back. But anyway, one other thing, fact-checking. On Channel 4, a lot of it's done by this guy, Luke Moretti. He's been there forever. I don't know. Apparently he's just part of the furniture there, but whatever. And he's been doing a lot of fact-checking on, you know, McMurray and the other candidate. And if he's going to do that, I wish he'd listen, but I actually left a message on his voicemail. Would you please fact-check when both Reed and Collins are running? My opposition will substitute government-run health care for Medicare. Would he please tell the people, if you're going to fact check, Medicare is government run health care. I mean, it's such an asinine thing, but if you're not going to challenge it, people out there who aren't too sophisticated are going to think this is going to be some terrible, horrible departure from what we had. 88% of the people in the United States approve of Medicare.
And people have to also understand that when they talk about government run health care, they're really just talking about the point of payment. Because it's not like, you know, you have Medicare doctors, you know, that are in a place called U.S. Medicare, and that's where you go to get your health insurance or your health care. You're still getting your health care from Blue Cross and Blue Shield or, you know, Independent Health or, you know, Catholic, you know, health care network or Kaleida and so on. You're still getting your health care through private providers. It's just being paid for through a single point of payment.
Well, yes, and there's only one country ever that tried, and they got rid of it pretty quick, to have government-run, Western democratic countries. Mm-hmm. Britain under Clement Attlee in 1947 to 50. Okay, they actually tried having, like, the government-paid doctors and stuff, but it's not really necessary. You need this insurance system is what, and then you do have to put a certain amount of price regulatory structures in there. And then that's what I even criticized Bernie Sanders over that, because with his health care proposal, he didn't do that. Apparently he felt it would be too horribly unpopular. They say he's a communist or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's how you control prices. That's why when you hear these, and that's another thing, when they run these commercials that say it will cost $32,000 more in taxes per person per year, Well, yeah, if you do nothing, it probably could be true. If you do nothing about limiting profits on pharmaceuticals and nursing home care, if you do absolutely nothing about that, and you let them spay, the one medication I took that I can't even get anymore because it's nobody will pay for it here, beclomethasone, Beclanese, $399 for a two-month supply in the United States. Mm. And in Canada, it's $51.62 for a six-month supply. Yeah. If you do nothing about that at all, yeah, you probably could see a massive increase. But that's part of a good, solid, rational healthcare system that we have to put some reasonable price regulation in there. So I know I'm taking a lot of time or so.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron. I got to rock. I got to get our commercial break in. Then we'll get John from Rochester and we'll get his thoughts about this whole terrorist stuff. So if you all stick with us, we will see you inside of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
Are you a home brewer, or do you want to learn about home brewing? Tune in at 9 a.m. on ESPN 1520 for Just Brew It. Just Brew It, hosted by Jeremy White and Bert Deister from Niagara Tradition Homebrew. Tune in Saturdays at 9 a.m. on ESPN 1520 for Just Brew It.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
Everything is all right. That's right. And hopefully that's going to be the case as we get done with Tuesday. It's not my place to tell people how to vote or who to vote for, but it is my place to beg you as hard as I can to get out and to vote. It doesn't make sense to have 20% of the population making decisions for 100% of the people. We all got to get out and vote. Even if I don't like what you did, it's better if you do it and we all are in the game than to not participate and then feel like we're being victimized by those that did. Let me grab John in Rochester and get his thoughts. I'm pretty sure he wants to talk to me about our conversation last week. John, how are you doing out there?
I'm doing good, Nathan. Doing good.
So did you hear my report on...
I was going to say the Bills are going to win tomorrow.
Okay, well, you've been telling me that for a while, and I've been believing you. But you know what, John? I'm going to go out on a limb. I know Chicago is a decent team. They got a good defensive team and so on. But I think that Derek Anderson is even though he had an interception at the end of the last game, I think he's going to find his stride. Derek's not a play. Oh, that's right. We got Peterman is going to be playing. Okay, you just messed me up. I don't know, John. I was there for a minute.
Well, I think Peterman will do a good job tomorrow.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for it. All right. So, John, did you hear my thoughts about the report I gave you with regard to who is it that actually commits terrorist acts on American soil? I provided a report by the National Institute Investigative Fund and the Center for Investigative Reporting. They tracked from January 2008 to December of 2016. They tracked 201 terrorist incidents in the United States on U.S. soil, and they found that of those attacks, 115 cases were by right-wing extremists, from white supremacists to militias to something they call sovereign citizens, compared with 63 cases by Islamists. More to the point of what you were talking about, it said that of all of those 201 cases between January of 2008 to December of 2016, 19 of the 201 were incidents in which they were carried out by left-wing extremists, and they included people called eco-terrorists and animal rights militants in the definition of left-wing extremists. So you can see that this is simply not the case. It's not left-wing people who are the sources of terrorist acts that have taken place in the United States. By far, by more than 60%, it's right-wing extremists, the people that we've been talking about, these so-called militia people, these white supremacists, and these so-called sovereign citizens, okay, anti-abortionists, you know, and so on. The facts, you know, speak for themselves. I don't know who you were hearing that from, you know, who gave you that information, but that was somebody who either was making it up or they were getting it from some website that was outright lying. But I'm giving you information that comes from the criminal database of the United States. This is what the United States government says. Now, if you're saying it, they're making it up, and whoever's giving you their folklore is correct, well, then you got to go with whatever you think.
Well, I think the Islamist extremists committing 63 incidents since over that 14-15 year period, I think that sounds about right. But what it doesn't address is the attacks by the left through Antifa and some of these other left-wing groups. It doesn't get into that at all.
No. Well, we're talking about terrorist incidents. We're not talking
to me, that's a terrorist incident when they burn down, try to burn down an administration building in Berkeley, white police cars on fire. That to me is a terrorist incident.
They're not
covering that.
Number one, I don't know that those are not included in the 201 cases that I just described to you. I'm giving you 201 cases that are the total that were defined by the U.S. Bureau of Criminal Statistics. This is what they defined as terrorism. So I don't know if what you just talked about are defined as terrorist incidents, but I do know this, that it is unreasonable to conclude that if you have the ones that you have identified as terrorist interest incidents, and they group the way that I just reported, that ones that you think are out there that you would just consider to be terrorist incidents, well, there are similar terrorist incidents that are probably even more numerous by those right-wing extremists that also are not being counted. They're burning cars. Louise Slaughter, they threw bricks and whatnot through her congressional office window down in the lower part of our county and so on. I mean, we have that kind of bullying and terrorism going on all the time. Red paint on people's cars, you know, and so on, going on all the time. So you can't just...
Mainly by the left.
No, the record doesn't show that.
The record does show it because you're right.
I just gave you the record.
The Muslim, but it doesn't consider the leftist ideology in violence that Antifa is one example.
But you're not considering, if you're going to go the Antifa route, then you also have to go with all of the militia violence, all of the anti-abortion, you know, violence, all of the Ku Klux Klan type violence and so on. You have to, all of that would have to be in the same thing. If you count all of those things, you're going to see the same disbursement. You're going to see about 60% of those cases are being done by these malicious white nationalists. You're going to see about 30% are being done by these Islamists.
They're not taking into consideration the Antifa type left. And
just as you're not taking into consideration these Confederate, you know, white supremacists, you're not taking them into consideration either. You can't have it both ways. Okay, so let's not discuss it from that point of view. The documents that we can actually look at are clear: 201 incidents, 115 by extreme right wing nationalists, 63 by Islamic phobia, whatever, or Islamic terrorists, and 19 by so-called left wing people, some of which I don't even know if you can call them left wing, but you know, we can go with that.
The fact that the left has only contributed 19. This is being underreported. The media has underreported
okay.
it.
So no matter what we say, you're always going to say that that the reports that you don't like, those reports are not credible reports. But the reports that you're giving that are just coming based on what's just coming out of your head, right? Those reports are golden. Sorry, John, I got to get two more calls on. I'm going to get other John in, and then we can get to Mark before the end of this hour. Let me grab other John. Other John, how you doing out there?
Pretty well, Nathan, pretty okay. well.
I hope I wasn't being too crazy. I thought I was being lucid.
No. But I think you were wrong in one respect. These statements aren't coming out of his head.
See, I didn't want to go there. See, I was okay. trying to be polite. We're on okay. the air.
Right. But what we hear a lot from the Rochester reactionary about Antifa. Oh, right. He hates Antifa, okay? And I'd like to point out there was another group that hated Antifa as well. They were called Nazis. And if he remembers D-Day, there were lots of Antifas
right.
at the beaches. Okay.
Yep.
And if you take a look at the photographic evidence for the alt-right, who the alt-right supports, including, I'm assuming, the Rochester reactionary,
mm-hmm.
if you take a look at the Nazi flags and you take a look at the Confederate flags, these people are swearing allegiance to sworn enemies of this nation.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
I'd like to have the Rochester reactionary address that, because he seems to be enamored with these thugs. With respect to the upcoming election, I certainly expect that the go pigs will be crushed.
We really hope that you are right. So you got to talk to all your crew. People got to get people that have never gone to vote before. They got to get them to come to the polls. They just got to get them to do it.
I have been harassing them. So I'm doing my part.
Tell them they can't eat. You're not going to let them come to the kitchen table. Show me a receipt that says that you voted today.
Right? Yeah, stamp receipt. Right. Okay, Nathan, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, John. Let me grab Mark in Buffalo. Mark, how you doing, man?
Hey, Nathan.
All right, good to hear from you.
I saw you won an award.
Yeah, they called me a living legend, whatever that's supposed to be.
I saw you up there, gave me goosebumps. I was proud of you.
Thanks, man.
Hey, alternative facts, John. I saw Reverend Al on television. He said something very succinct. He said, "You don't have to worry about the left-wing Mexicans or Muslims. You got to worry about right-wing Bubba next door."
Mm-hmm.
That's who you got to worry about.
Yep.
And who was a nationalist and held rallies all the time?
Who was that?
Who was it? In history,
I don't know.
Mussolini.
Mussolini with the brown shirts and whatnot.
That's what John was just talking about. He was talking about Antifa. Antifa. That's anti-fascist.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Antifa stands for.
Right.
And that's they're here now, the anti-fascists, to fight fascism.
Yep.
And who just declared himself a nationalist?
He says, "I'm not a white nationalist. I'm just a nationalist."
And that's what Hitler and Mussolini claimed themselves.
Right.
And who held rallies all across the country before the Nazis invaded?
Yep.
And all that others, and Mussolini invaded. Mussolini and Hitler.
Yep.
That's exactly what's happened now. 35 lies in a day.
Yep.
1,700 lies this month. And the media is never would never give Obama any credit for the for his economy because ownership of the media matters.
Do you remember, Mark, when the President Obama first came into office in January of 2009? The media kept saying that, well, he's going to get 1 year that he can blame the economy on George Bush, and then it's going to become his economy from that point on. Now, you got an economy that had tanked to the point we had a $1.5 trillion deficit. You had 850,000 jobs that were being lost per month, you know, at that time. And he's supposed to be held to account on the quality of the economy 12 months after the economy was in that situation. But he did that, pulled the country out of that economy by March of 2010. The economy was on the rise and has continued to rise every single month since that time.
But it was never good enough.
Never good enough.
It was never good enough. And Obama turned the whole country around, and this guy is taking credit.
Yep.
I told you that was going to happen.
Yep.
I knew it was going to happen. Every time the right wing comes in, they destroy the economy. The left wing comes in and fixes it. Then the right wing comes in again and takes the credit.
Right.
It drives me nuts.
Remember what the hustle was with the surplus? You know, George Bush said, well, if you got all that surplus, you know, it's come. And the surplus wasn't here yet. That was surplus that was on the way as long as everything stayed in place in terms of how taxation structure and whatnot was going on. And what George Bush did when he came in is he said, well, if there's that kind of surplus coming up, that means he said that means you're taking too much money away from people. We should give that money back to the people. And he lowered taxation. And what happened? The surplus disappeared.
And when Obama
There you go.
When Obama was in, the deficit was the thing.
Yep.
They attacked him every day on the deficit.
Yep.
This guy, the deficit's through the roof. He's doubled, tripled it, and not a peep. Because deficits don't matter under Republicans.
There you go. The deficit has gone up exactly. We had this conversation a year ago, Mark. I don't know if you remember. We had this conversation on this space a year ago that if he did this tax cut that he was talking about, it was going to add $150 billion to the deficit every year going forward. Well, we went from a $600 billion deficit to a $779 billion deficit in the year that ended September 30th of this year. That is actually larger than the deficit that we thought was going to be created by this tax cut.
They're stealing money again.
Yep.
They're doing exactly what Bush did. They're stealing. They're robbing us again. And in alternative facts, John, you ain't got to worry about the left wing, the Mexicans, or the Muslims. Worry about right wing Bubba.
Yep.
That's living next door to you and your buddies.
Yep.
That's who you got to worry about.
Yep.
All right, baby.
Thanks, Mark. All right. We'll talk to you next week. So we're getting near the end of our hour. You know, our biggest thing that we have to be concerned about is this propensity of allowing people like Donald Trump to build their campaigns by turning Americans against other Americans. Even the idea of trying to turn all of us against immigrants who are coming into the country, he's even trying to turn us against immigrants coming into the country legally. He's trying to turn us against immigrants who come here on student visas, people that come here on tourist visas, you know, and so on. This idea of turning us into a Balkanized nation can't be to our best self-interest. This pattern is only going to hurt us. It's never going to help us. We've got to stop doing this. We've got to stop allowing people like this to have control over our nation, over our politics, even allowing them to have control over our judiciary. We've got to fight back, and the vote is the only way we can get that done. That's the way I see it. Hope that you all will be listening again next week. Look forward to talking to you all next week here at Think Again. Think Again.
Now You've been listening to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. Be sure to tune in again next week at this same time for more Think Again.